You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What is going on, dude?
Well, what's going on? We've made it through Thanksgiving. We've made it through Black Friday, and now it's on to Christmas. And of course, that means another wonderful week of the Steelers playing down to the level of the competition, and they're at 7-5 like just about everybody else in the AFC.
Yes, it's another week for a team to completely drive you nuts and make you wonder who in the hell they are. Is it Jekyll? Is it Hyde? Is it a combination of something else? I don't really know, dude. The only thing I can ever describe this team as over the last 2.5 years up until now is irritating. Just completely irritating. I cannot think of a better word to describe it, because just when you think maybe they're going to turn the corner and be a little more consistent, oh, nope, sorry, we're going to go up and lose to a team we shouldn't be losing to. Now, granted, the Saints are not, you know, chump change here. I mean, this right. is Drew Brees and Marcus Colston and all these great players, so it's not like this is, like, you know, the worst team on the planet. But still, this team's coming off multiple losses. They're on the road where they don't play well. They're on natural grass where they don't play well. And it's late November where they're not supposed to play well ever. And here they come into our field, our hometown, and they beat us.
Irritating is the only word. I'm sure there are others, which, just in case we have listeners who are minor children, we'll save. I mean, everything's set up, you know, for the Steelers to win this game. The bye week, the time to prepare for a relatively high-powered offense. You had a team coming in off, like you said, 3 straight losses, including the most recent one to the Ravens. And they were on a short week because they played Baltimore on Monday night. I mean, everything was there. And the irritating part comes in, not just because we lost, but this was ugly. I mean, Ben didn't play well. The defense is beyond atrocious right now. And now you take Brett Kiesel out of there. I mean, it just gets uglier and uglier. And I mean, obviously, Matt, we hold out hope that we're going to win every game. We're going to get hot, go into the playoffs. But, I mean, there's just no way with the way that this defense is playing and with the inconsistency of the offense. I don't know if we'll be able to go 2-2 down the stretch here.
You know, honestly, I really don't know. And, you know, we have a couple of poll questions up on the website at steelcityblitz.com with, you know, what do you think the Steelers' record will be? And, you know, do you actually want them to make the playoffs? And, you know, the latter is actually an interesting question, because if you follow the hashtag Steelers timeline during game day, there's a whole lot of people that don't want this team even sniffing the playoffs, because they know we're just going to get ousted in the first round. And you're right, this defense is bad. Kiesel is now gone, and, you know, even though he's the Wiley veteran, he's probably played his last game for the Steelers. I mean, let's just face it.
I think he's done, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he wasn't a world beater, but he was consistent. He's a fan favorite. So now an already struggling defense loses another veteran, and, you know, now we have to rely even more on guys like Cam Thomas and the guys like Tua and McCullers, who don't get that much playing time as it is. Now they're going to get even more, which maybe is a good thing in retrospect, but I Taylor is just ridiculously bad. He's just so bad right now. Cortez Allen, you know, can't cover anybody ever. You know, they're losing guys in a secondary. Troy comes back, oh, you know, big whoopty ding dong. Yeah. You look at this team, and I was talking to a guy at work today about this. If you look in the secondary, they are average at best. You've got Polamalu, who's decent. Everybody else sucks. Or at linebackers, you've got Timmons and everybody else sucks. Spence is okay, but he's lost in coverage. Shazier is hurt. Moats is sort of okay. And then you have a defensive line with Cam Hayward and everybody else sucks. I mean, there's just this team, this defense is just terrible.
Well,
absolutely terrible.
No, they are. And you know, I guess I hate to jump to this because there's still time left for this team to accomplish something. But you look right now. I mean, Ike Taylor, has to be gone. Obviously, Kiesel, I think, is done. James Harrison, who I think has played hard and played well at times, I think he's gone. You know, who knows about Jason Worlds? Is he going to want too much money? He might be gone. Does Troy retire or move on? I mean, you're looking at the potential for 6 or 7 new starters on that defense next year. And it might be a welcome sign because, as you mentioned, Ike just can't cover anymore. And William Gay did not play well. Amazingly, to credit Dick LeBeau, they did exactly what they needed to do on Sunday by taking away Jimmy Graham. He didn't even have one catch. I mean, if you'd have told me that guy was going to go without a reception and we would still lose, I would have thought, we would have really had to make a ton of mistakes. Well, yeah, and kind of we did in coverage. And I also have to wonder, too, why LeBeau went away from some of the exotic blitzes that he was running in the first quarter and clearly had Drew Brees confused and dealing with pressure in his face. All of a sudden, those were gone. He started to drop more guys, worried about coverage. And, I mean, I've always lived with the principle of if you're going to get beat, just get beat swinging. Go, I mean, keep bringing it. And he wasn't, and now Kiesel's gone. So, as you said, that brings more snaps for Cam Thomas, which isn't good. I think you got to give more playing time to McCullers. You got to give more playing time to Tuitt. Whether they like it or not, they're going to have to play.
Excuse me, you're exactly right. And the problem is that there's just this defense has a profound lack of talent across the board. Yeah. You know, except for Timmons and Hayward, maybe you could still say Troy. Where is the talent in the secondary of this defense at all? I mean, and there are some guys that maybe show some promise with Spence, but he kind of gets lost in coverage, like I said.
Yep.
And then there's guys on the defensive line who just haven't played enough yet. And you're right, next year this defense could look a whole lot different. God knows if LeBeau's going to come back again, and if he does, should he?
Right.
And is it time to move on? I mean, we'll have that conversation 100 times if we haven't already. And it's just, honestly, you're right. I don't know if this team can go 2-2 the rest of the way out. I have no clue, but I do know one thing. There's not a whole lot of promise on this defense right now, either because of injury or just players that just haven't played well. And conversely, when you look at the offense, I mean, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of upside. Short of Heath, kind of getting long in the tooth, I mean, there's young talent all over the place. So, I'm not really so much worried about the offense either, in general, generally speaking, or the defense is just so bad. I mean, there really is not enough bad things to say about how this team played right now. And, you're right, everything is set up for this team perfectly. And if I told you that Big Ben was going to throw for 435 yards and 2 TDs, yeah, and Bell was going to rush for 95, catch 159 yards worth of passes, Brown was going to have 97 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns, and if I told you all of that,
yeah,
you would think that Pittsburgh had won this game, especially with everything else, with the Saints not playing well outside and all that jazz. And the Steelers just look like they just were bad. I mean, Mike Adams is so unbelievably bad. And I mean, you're kind of going to the offense side,
yeah,
the offensive side now. And I'm just like, as bad as Ben was, just on his own merit, Mike Adams was just as bad trying to pass block anybody.
He still struggles. I mean, let's be clear. And I think between him and Beecham and Gilbert, I think a lot of people are going to scream for defensive help, especially pass rushing and especially corners in the draft and potentially free agency. But you have to address the offensive line. I just don't know that.
Again, right?
Yeah,
we're always doing that.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. I think if you're sitting there and there is a potential, plug-and-play starter at tackle, you really do have to take him in the first round. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but, let me go to Ben for a minute. I thought he had a really
bad?
Interesting game in this respect. His first few, I was watching the first half, I've watched it the last couple days. His first few throws were darts, right on the money. I think he had one to Bryant, he had one to Brown. And then all of a sudden the ball sails, and then he gets the hand caught up in the arm in the other hand, and you can see him handing off with his other hand, and you knew something wasn't right. And then he goes into a real funk. He doesn't throw the ball very well. Everything's sailing. You know, the one interception, it's hard to blame the one that gets tipped up on him. I mean, you know, that was just an athletic play by Jordan there. But then he puts up 435 passing yards, almost all of which come in that last 18 minutes of the game. So where did that come from? I mean, were the Saints playing so off that it was just pitch and catch? I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. So obviously his hand felt better at some point, and he started to throw the ball better. You don't have a bum hand and throw for 400-plus yards. So I, and to his credit, he admitted, you know, I was lousy. I didn't play well. I don't know why. He said he was embarrassed. He's not blaming anything on the injury or potential injury. It's just a really bizarre, poor game by him.
Yeah, you know what? It was a really poor game. And I was reading a column somewhere today on the internet. I can't remember where it was. I wish I could remember. But they were more or less blaming Mike Adams for the woes of Ben. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, Mike Adams sucks. He always sucks. I mean, the guy is just not a good pass blocker. He's an okay run blocker, but whatever. The problem, I mean, so yes, you know, he was getting owned left and right, and yeah. Ben was running for his life. What else is new? But Ben, I mean, those passes that were sailing, I mean, it was multiple passes, like double digits, I think almost, that sailed over somebody's head, all throughout the day.
Yeah.
And he did not seem like himself. I'm sure his hand hurt a little bit, but... And, you know, I mean, they did score, you know, the bulk of their points, obviously, in the fourth quarter. They scored 19 points, then, you know, with, you know, to Brown and, you know, with a two-point conversion and all that. But the Saints' secondary was the weakest part of that unit, and it took them to the fourth quarter, either because the Saints were in a prevent mode, or maybe Ben's hand just started to feel better, or maybe they just figured something out, but by then it was too little too late. It was just garbage points.
Well, it was, and, you know, I think they came out fairly balanced to open the game, but then they went almost too exclusively to the run, and it, look, I've said this before, I really believe that there is a concern there by whether it's by Art Rooney or Mike Tomlin or whoever it is. They don't want to get Dick LeBeau embarrassed much in the way he was, say, last year against New England when they gave up 55. So they wanted to take time off the clock, keep Drew Brees off the field because they knew their secondary was in trouble. It was obvious. And they got some good three and outs to start the game. But then... everything fell apart, and now you're way behind, and as you mentioned, the offense, you know, did some good things in the fourth quarter against the secondary that they probably should have been picking on in the first place, but chose to run the ball in an effort to take time off the clock, and I can't necessarily say balance is a bad strategy, but I just wonder if they didn't go to the run too often, which leads me to the next thing, which is Le'Veon Bell going to be able to walk off the field at the end of the season? I mean, the guy is getting a ton of work right now.
Oh, my God. He is the absolute workhorse. If it were not for him, I'm not sure where we would be right now. I mean, this guy, I can't believe he can crawl out of bed in the morning, let alone play every week. I mean, the guy's just getting he's catching passes. He's taking an unbelievable – I mean, he's dishing out a lot of hits, but he's taking a whole lot of hits, too. I mean, it's no wonder that – running backs have such a short shelf life in the NFL. The way this guy's running, I mean, it's just insane the amount of work they're getting him. And I mean, it's awesome because he's playing well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he is an absolute beast of a running back. He's the best overall running back in the league right now. There's no question. You know, the first running back to rush for 1,000 yards since what, 2010 as a Steeler, I believe it was.
Lindenhall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I mean, he's the total package. But you're right. I mean, you kind of wonder if he's getting too much work, but at the same time, I mean, he's just the guy. The guy just makes plays, and he's one of the few bright spots to really talk about that is just absolutely consistent every week.
Well, and I tweeted this today. I was really surprised that Josh Harris didn't see the field. I mean, here's a guy that came off the practice squad right after they released LeGarrette Blount, and I thought for sure, with that bye week, that they would get him involved. And I'm not suggesting that he was going to get 10 carries, don't get me wrong, but Dree Archer's not the answer as your second back. I mean, that's just ridiculous they would even think that. You know, you've got to get Le'Veon Bell some breaks every now and then, and you can't have it so that, okay, Bell's off the field, that means they're going to throw. You got to be able to still give the look like you can run, use him as a decoy or something. But the fact that Harris didn't play, it just tells me they must not think he's ready to do it, which really worries me, because if Bell goes down, Ben's going to have to throw the ball 75 times a game.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he already threw it, was it 58?
50-something, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right, and I was fully expecting to see Harris get some carries. You know, as I said, maybe not 10 or 15, but half dozen or so. You know, just
right.
get him in there, anything, to get him acclimated to the speed of the game out on the field with the starters. And you're right. I mean, if God forbid something happens to Bell, regardless, I mean, he's it. There's just nobody else. You know, I mean, maybe Will Johnson can carry the ball, but what's him? He don't scare anybody.
Well, of course not. No, he's not. I mean, you can easily, you know, hold him to a couple yards of carry. And again, let's hope this doesn't happen, but we have to be realistic. I mean, he carried the ball 33 times against Tennessee, plus had some catches, and then he had all the catches and all the carries on this past Sunday, you know, and there's still four monster games left, so I think it's very fair to talk about that part of it, and man, I'm telling you, it's a little bit scary, but let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsor, and then Matt, you can pick it up when we come back. Hey Steelers fans, the holidays are fast approaching, and you know what that means. It means turkey and stuffing and gravy and pumpkin pie and everything else that goes with the holidays. If you want to avoid putting on that 10 or 15 pounds that comes with this sort of thing, get over to our friends at Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. They're open 24 hours, 7 days a week. They offer all kinds of stuff like group fitness, personal training, weight training, silver sneakers. There's tanning, and there's a juice bar there. Right now, get yourself online, and you can save $75. There's absolutely no joining fee right now if you join up with Body Tech online right now. They are located 1130 Perry Highway in North Hills, and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we're back here talking Steelers football after the break. So yeah, let's kind of switch gears a little bit over to Tomlin now. I can't figure this guy out. I mean, he's been our coach for years and years now, and you know, all it ever is with him is just one big cliche fest. Yeah. We know this. We accept that. We'll work on this. We'll make the necessary changes. Well, you don't ever make the necessary changes because nothing ever changes. You know, and this team is just one gigantic, inconsistent disappointment for the last 3 years. There's no reason to think that we're going to finish any better than 8-8 right now. I mean, you know, it just. Tomlin clearly has no clue how to fix this team, or maybe he's doing his best and the players just aren't fixable because we need a new influx of talent. I don't know.
Well, I read a couple of different things today from some of the national guys, and their feeling is that Tomlin hasn't lost the team. The message still rings true. Their feeling is that the lack of depth and the poor drafts have just decimated anything that he wants to do as a head coach. Now, the common denominator there, which worries me, is that the bad drafts have gotten worse. Really, they started with him taking over, and they've kind of gotten worse between he and Colbert. You know, yeah, Colbert had some iffy drafts when Cowher was there, but his drafts were overall a little bit better. So if Tomlin is really truly part of that personnel selection process, then he really should look in the mirror at some of those problems that he's finding now. But the fact that he just refuses to play some of these younger guys like a Shamarco Thomas, like a Tuitt, who's going to play more by necessity rather than by just desire, it's frustrating. I think Tomlin is a good coach, and I stress this. He's not going to be fired at the end of the year. The Rooneys will give him at least one more year. There will be changes if this team doesn't make the playoffs. I don't know what. I know there's a huge contingent that would love to see Todd Haley go off onto the putting green and play golf, and many of us that would like to see Dick LeBeau go off to the putting green and play golf as well. I don't know that those things are going to happen, but I really firmly believe, Matt, Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere, at least for one more year.
Oh, no, there's no way. I mean, yeah. it would take a meltdown of like a 2-14 season, like twice in a row, before the Rooneys would even consider getting rid of Tomlin. That's just not how they operate.
Right.
My problem is with this team is you run that line of mediocrity of a 500 season year after year. This year, you know, even if you finish 9-7, well, how much of an improvement is that? I mean, not much. So, you know, you're running that fine line of, well, maybe we're kind of good, but maybe we just need a little tweak here and there. You know, the tweaking days are so unbelievably done, it's not even funny. I mean, yes, we have talent on offense. We need help on offensive line again, yeah, starters, yeah, and reserves. There's no doubt about it. We're good at wide receiver. We're good at quarterback. We're, you know, we're depth of running back. You know, they are, yeah, a dime a dozen, whatever.
Yeah.
But the defense needs a whole lot of help, and the years of bad drafting on the defensive side especially are catching up with this team. Obviously, Jason Worlds wasn't worth any of that money that they're giving him. You know, is Jarvis Jones going to bounce back at some point and play well, get healthy? Who knows? Yeah. You know, Ike Taylor's gone, no big loss there, but who's going to step up in reserve? I mean, certainly not Cortez Allen. So, and, you know, William Gay is about as inconsistent as it gets.
Yeah.
And so you're right. I think we're not going to see wholesale changes on this team. And yes, I know we are kind of jumping ahead of ourselves here because the season's still going on. But it's frustrating because nothing ever changes because we're a 500 team. And every year, you know, let's fire a special teams coach, or let's bring in a new wide receivers coach, yeah, or let's bench this guy, or, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, let's cut this third round receiver that, right, nobody cares about. But yeah, that's enough change for us right now. Ugh.
Well, no, you're right. That's the Steelers' MO when it comes to this stuff. And I was listening to Ken Laird a little bit this morning on Trib Live, and there was an interesting discussion. You know, if you knew that in let's say 2006 or 2007, Tomlin takes over, and you know, eight years from now you are where you are, but let's say 2 years from now this team is right back in the Super Bowl, you know, would you have bought in and would you have suffered for these 3 years? And I think most people would say, well, certainly, yeah. If I know that in 2016 this team's back in the Super Bowl, well, of course, I'll take the suffering. But the flip side of the discussion was also, you know, will the Rooneys be rewarded for their typical patience? Because let's say that we have these three 500 or near 500 seasons in a row, and as you said, what happens if the next season is 2-14? Now we're really in trouble. From a coaching aspect, from a player aspect, just from absolutely everything. So I'm curious to see what happens with this team, whether it's 9-7 and misses the playoffs, 7-9, 8-8, because as you pointed out, the mediocrity has to stop, and I think you're almost worse when you're mediocre than when you're just bad, because when you're mediocre, and it goes back to what we've talked about with Tomlin, these horrible losses to these teams with lesser records. I mean, I think he's 10-11 now. Against teams with worse records or something like that in the last couple of years, and that to me,
that's
a really ugly stat, and it just shouldn't be that way. So I don't know. I really wonder what kind of discussions are going on, and as we keep telling ourselves here tonight, you know, there's still four games to go. Anything can happen, but it really did feel like that game was kind of a nail in the coffin on Sunday.
I think it is too, because I mean, you know, you've got divisional games coming up. You know, we have the Bengals this weekend coming up, and we'll talk about them here in just a second before we start to shut it down for the night. But you're right. I mean, this was a pivotal game. It's a home game. You got to win your home games.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of the fact that it was an NFC team, so what? The fact is that it was a team that was on your schedule. You had a chance to gain some ground because, you know, the Ravens lost. So, you know, yeah, you had a chance, and you just. Everything is setting up perfectly for the Steelers to really just control their own destiny because of the divisional games coming up, and they just continue to let opportunities slip through their fingers every single week. We hear the same excuses every single week. Now we've got more and more players getting hurt, and it's a vicious cycle that never seems to end with this team. The last 2 years, certainly it hasn't, and it's going to be that way the rest of this year. I mean, maybe we'll beat Cincinnati. I don't friggin' know, but the way that we look right now, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they put up like 160 yards on the ground against us.
Well, it was funny. I saw, I think it was John Phillips from he does some writing for Behind the Steel Curtain. He said something along the lines of, wouldn't it be just poetic for this team to win on Sunday, win the next two games, and then need to win against the Bengals on the last day of the season and lose at home, you know, and it would be. I mean, that
would absolutely be. You're right.
That would be so typical for this team. Or the flip side of that is to have a huge victory on Sunday and then go to Atlanta and just get smoked, you know. I mean, it's just, it's so, we keep coming back to the irritating word, because it is. You just don't know. And I part of me is really getting tired of this. Well, this is the NFL today. You know, you look at the way some teams play one week, and then they play so well or so badly the next. You know what? Bull crap. I mean, if you got good coaching and you got good players, you should be winning three quarters of your games, and this team is not. And the talent is lacking, as we've talked about tonight, on defense especially, and it's as Mike Tomlin says, we are what the record says we are, and there's no way to escape it.
No, there isn't. And you're right. I mean, good teams, championship teams, they find ways to win their home games. They find ways to win in late November and December. They get hot when they're supposed to. They beat the teams that they're supposed to, and then you split the games with the teams that are, you know, maybe better than you or you know, equal with you. And that's what everybody expects a good team to do. And we're just like all over the place. You know, we lose to teams we're not supposed to, and then we beat teams we're not supposed to, and then we kind of split it with the average teams, and then we lose to somebody else we're not supposed to again.
And,
so,
and when you add all that up, you get 8-8 for three straight years.
Exactly right. And it's frustrating as hell to be a fan of this team, because we're so used to so much success all the time. And yeah, maybe we were due for some down years, and I guess maybe I can see that, and obviously the lack of talent on defense is definitely going to contribute to that. But I mean, goodness, I mean, if we finish 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7, we're still only pretty much a 500 team regardless. I mean, you're not going to change that now. And, you know, I mean, I shudder to think what would happen with this team if we actually made it as a wild card, and then we go in and just get completely obliterated by somebody on the first round on the road. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, but this team just drives me bananas. And now we have a game coming up against a divisional team, which, once again, you absolutely have to win, but I have no faith that we will. None.
No, I don't either. I go into this game on Sunday with very few expectations. I obviously want the team to win. I will pull hard like I do every single week that they play and have for the entirety of my life to win the game. But do I have the confidence that they're going to? No, I don't. I think they're going to be exposed again by a good Cincinnati running game. I think we'll find a way to make Andy Dalton probably look better than he is. And you know, I mean, he struggled last week with Tampa Bay. Three picks, you know. I just don't have a lot of confidence. Can we win there? Of course, it's Cincinnati. We usually do win there. But this year, it's just too darn random the way this team is.
Yeah, it is. It's completely consistently inconsistent in every way, shape, and form. It really is.
No, you're right.
You can't put your finger on anything other than, you know, this team just completely blowing your mind in some irritating fashion. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we're going to watch it. We're going to cheer. We're going to hope to God they win. Yep. And when when Ben throws a pick or somebody fumbles or the defense allows, you know, A.J. Green to set like an NFL record for receiving and touchdowns against Ike Taylor and William Gay in double coverage, I mean, we're just going to go ugh and sigh and bitch and moan.
And
it's just what
don't think that can't happen, because it can based on – they got torched by Kenny Stills. I mean, Kenny Stills was – what did he get kicked out of Crosby, Stills, and Nash and show up to the football field? I mean, come on.
Dude, that play where Ike was just like – I'm like, wow, really? I mean, you or I could have caught that pass and ran in the end zone.
Well, we could have caught it. Would we have gotten to the end zone? I don't know.
But you're right. It's just bad. And honestly, you're right. I mean, all joking aside, if they give Andy Dalton time and A.J. Green is covered by either William Gay or Ike Taylor, we're in serious trouble. But we're going to hope to God that doesn't happen. And, you know, we're just going to see what this team can do and try and finish out strong. But just before we want to wrap it up, you know, of course, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Body Tech Gym, and also give all the listeners, you know, let you guys know that we have a new fantasy segment that is on the website that we post up here. It's a short little 5-minute podcast that will give you all the Steelers insight that you need for the Pittsburgh players for your fantasy team. Obviously, guys like Ben and Antonio and Bell and the defense and whatnot. Sweezum, we have a guy on board who was a fantasy fanatic who will give you all kinds of great stats, trends. You know, this guy plays well when it's rainy, after it's sunshine, and it snows on the ground. You know, that kind of weird fantasy stuff that I have no idea about. We'll have it covered for you. There'll be an article up here, I believe, on Wednesday as well, and then we will keep doing that weekly.
Yeah, and don't forget, too, we also want to thank Last Word on Sports. We're now part of their podcasting menu, if you will. Our stuff will appear there on Tuesday nights once we load this show up, and it's been great working with them. I know the guy that runs the show there is a Steelers fan, so it's been a real nice relationship with them. And check them out at lastwordonsports.com.
Right on. Yep. We are growing in all kinds of ways. We definitely appreciate all the readers, all the comments, all the tweets, the Facebooks, whatever. Keep spreading the word, because we love doing this for you guys. We love writing the articles, doing the shows, and we're very happy that that we can do this for you every week. So with that, I think let's wrap this up and get on out of here, and hope to God that next week we are talking about a Steelers win for once, because I'm really getting tired of complaining about this team, but I'm sure I will anyways.
Yeah, we'll find something to complain about even if they win. But hey, you know what? At least it'll be a little rosier.
It's something like that, right? All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, presented by Body Tech Gym, North Hills, Pittsburgh.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.